Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Canes. It's Luke Bryan. What can I get you?
Today, I'm raising funds with Raising Canes and my buddy Todd Graves for the Brett Boyer Foundation. Great food.
And a great cause.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
And the Brett Boyer Foundation.
One love.
Are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work, explore new career options in the fintech industry at Currency, a Sand Hills global company? They offer full-time positions in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. Also a 4.5-day work week, an attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Visit GoCurrency.com/careers to learn more today.
Currency. Yesterday, Schaefe, we talked about the line from Field of Dreams like that. Is this heaven? No, this is Iowa. Same thing with fintech. Same exact thing. Is this heaven? No, you're working at fintech. That's what's going on right now. Can you imagine the NCAA tournament? It's like, sure wouldn't mind taking Friday afternoon off to watch some games. Oh, don't have to take Friday afternoon off. You know why? They're already off. They're already off. Ty's coming off. Ty's coming off about 12:01. Boom. They're having some wings and they're watching some. And yet, but yet they have compliance going. Shin Daddy's very, he follows that, the compliance very close. He worked.
Shin Daddy does.
He worked for the Comptroller of the Currency, for the federal government on.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Worked for the federal government. And control the currency, so he knows how important this is to know all the details, and that's why we have Carson Schott, and that's why we have fintech.
God,
killing it out there. Yes,
the website
fintech and Shindig.
GoCurrency.com/careers. Check that out today. Schaefer, there's been a couple of different outlets that have done way too early top 25s for next year in college football, and Nebraska, at least in two of them, was 22nd. Andy Staples put him 22nd, as well as USA Today. 22nd. Do you see right now this team? It's May 1st. Are you expecting a top 25 type team from Nebraska this season?
No.
Wow, Schaefer, why'd you say that?
That
was a very solid no.
Confident. I mean, I don't look at the roster or the team as it stands currently and feel better about things than I did last year. Hmm? I mean, I had them as a 9-win team last year going into the season. I felt like they underachieved and gave multiple games away. And I wonder how quickly that defensive line can sort of rise to a Big Ten level. Mm-hmm. I think there's unsung guys like a John Bullock that's going to be harder to replace than just having Watson Trent out there or somebody like that. I just have some questions. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be right or anything. Right now, I look at them like they're a 7-5 team.
So you're in a 7-8 range?
That's where I'm at, yeah.
Or are you in a 6-7 range? Because there's an important distinction.
I would say probably 7-8. Yeah. I'm more closer to 8-4 than I would be 6-6. But it's a small degree of difference. And then here's the other thing. They were 6-6 last year, and I said that I thought that they could be a 9-win team. And they gave multiple games away. And so, is that version of, like, are they beyond that? Mm-hmm. Are we still going to see them struggling to put a team away in the fourth quarter or struggling to score when it's tied late like they have for seemingly the last decade? So I'm just not the optimism and enthusiasm I had last year for some things isn't necessarily there at the moment. So we'll see. But I think there's plenty of upside for this team. And I think if Dylan Raiola himself takes a sizable step, that can help everything else. But ultimately, I feel like I have questions about the defense, how it's going to go with John Butler. Can they get a pass rush? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if they can straight up just rush the passer right now.
Well, they don't have much returning production at
all. And so then we're really banking on, like, is Desan McCullough going to be a money down pass rusher? Is he going to be able to get to the quarterback? Or are they going to have to create something and be a little more exotic with blitz packages and do? And I think they will, but I just have a tough time because there's so much out the door defensively that I just have to see who's going to step up and who can fit into those roles. There's a lot of smart people, certainly smarter than I am, that are excited about a lot of the young guys on defense. I'm not there yet. I would have a really tough time looking at this schedule and saying, yeah, Nebraska's going to win the necessary 8 to 9 games in the regular season to be number 22.
What is the strength of the team?
I don't know. I don't know that we know what the strength
is. Would it be the offensive line?
I think that's what you would ideally want, but can we say that is the strength when we're not even sure what that picture looks like right
now? I'm not sure that it will be.
Yeah.
That would be one area that you could.
Shafe's killing it with like you said, how much we talked about Evans being the center, but no one has seen him play center. No. So we don't know. So what he's saying,
we don't know how the snaps are going
to
be.
Everything could be great. There's a lot of, because you didn't get a chance to see some things or not a lot of snaps at that spot. The other thing that stands out to me is that last year overall they're probably in the 90 percentile of staying healthy. Mm-hmm. You compare them to other. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of teams take. Raiola, yes, missed what quarter of a game.
Yeah. He missed the end of the UCLA game. And he was banged up. But I mean, everyone's
banged up. Yeah. My point is, there's
Tommy Hill is like the only significant in season injury I can really think of.
Yeah, right. So they stayed fairly healthy. Both running backs usually it's like right now. You to say that all your running backs finish the season. That's hard. Mm-hmm. And I know teams do it, but they stayed fairly healthy. So right away this year, it's always like. And we've all been through that. We go, if an injury bug sets in, because that's not happened for a while here, right? Where it's been like, oh, we can't field a team. We got 9 starters out. And there's a lot of teams you're
2023, they were pretty injury ravaged. Okay. And then 2024, they were pretty healthy. And there was only a one game difference.
One
in
game
the win
difference.
Call.
Yes.
But that's,
we have a caller.
That's tough.
Yeah. We do have a caller. We got Chris at the Baldwin Shop.
No way.
Chris long time no speak. How are you? Chris, what's going on? What's your question today?
Very good, Jake, and it's always good to talk to you guys, and hi, and good morning to you guys. But my comment, real quick, I don't want to take too much of your time, is, hey, let's Mike's just being honest here. Mike, and it's good to hear you always every Thursday, but Mike's just being honest here. You know, you guys were talking earlier about not getting the running back. Well, hey, we averaged and feeling good about the running back room. I like what I see from Emmett Johnson, but we had one back last year that had a 100-yard game, and that was Johnson against Wisconsin. May I add, a shockingly lacking in talent on both sides of the ball Wisconsin team, I thought. But we averaged 130 yards a game. Now, and this is at Nebraska, guys. Come on. This is Nebraska. The defensive line, you know, I'm not convinced we're going to be as good there. You know, I don't know. How do you replace guys, Huttmacher, Robinson, Butler? You know, I mean, those guys are all 23, 24 years old. And had a lot of experience. You know, we're not going to have that this year. Now, I can see where the win total might come up with the scheduling. Our schedules the last couple of years have really been pretty decent. You know, I mean, look at the non-conference schedule this year. You're almost guaranteed, really, if you play, you're almost guaranteed 3 wins right off the bat, just like last year. You know, every one of those teams had losing records last year. But, you know, there's a lot of question marks, guys. I don't like it. If you look at all our championship teams, which I'm afraid you have to go back to the 20th century, conference or national championship teams, we've always had a running quarterback game. Mm-hmm. And Urban Meyer always said, you know, when you have a dual threat quarterback, it puts double the stress on the defense. You know, Coach, you can answer that better than I can. But, guys, I don't know. You know, it's going to be fun to see how the year goes. But I'm like Mike. I have a lot of question marks, and I think we'll be lucky to probably hit 7 I think we'll be very fortunate to have 8 wins. And let's not forget, last 7 out of 8 years have been losing seasons. And the one winning season last year, we were just 7-6. So, guys, that's my comment. And, hey, great. Thanks for taking my call and great show.
Nice to hear from you, Chris.
Good to hear
from you. I think most people are in the boat that you're in and Chris is in.
I don't think there's been like a groundswell of people who think this is a 9-10 win team.
I don't hear it.
There's a lot of 7-5, 8-4. Yeah.
The swell's been
a lot of, you know, wait and see, but there's also just kind of let's see how things are in August too. I think this spring more people checked out than have in past spring.
No doubt about it.
There's that aspect of it too.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. So there's a wait and see, and I think that's healthy. I think there should be a wait and see. That's how I am.
As Chris said, 7 of 8 years, no bowl game, under 500. Pessimism is going to win here with that. Mm-hmm. You don't just get a guarantee. Everyone's happy. We're going to go 8-4. You don't deserve that right now. You don't earn that right.
No, and they're laying low as a program too. I mean, they were subdued in praise this spring. I mean,
did not talk about people. I mean, that was kind of the instruction of the spring,
right?
Which is all fine. I mean, I think a lot of it for me and for others is they kind of have to prove they can win when the chips are down. Like they just
like the Iowa game, for instance.
Yes, can you imagine what this offseason probably sounds like if they actually had finished off that Iowa game instead of just choking it away?
It was a major choke job.
They just gave it away.
Mm-hmm. The most pronounced, when you say they gave some games away, was that the most pronounced one?
It's the most obvious one that you can probably say should have been a win, but I felt like they gave the Illinois game away.
Yep, they did. They did.
I don't think you can say they gave Ohio State away, but I think they could have put themselves in a better chance of winning than where they were. And they... You know, even then, they had the ball. And this is what I'm talking about. When the chips are down.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Do you have guys that go make plays? Can you actually go get points on the board?
God, I'll tell you what.
You take the ball on your 20, knowing you got to go 80 yards and you have 2.5 minutes? Like, when's the last time Nebraska's done that? I can answer it. They haven't done it in a long, long, long time.
No, and I hate to say this, but I didn't have any confidence when they got the ball.
No. Part of it was... When
they had to go 80 against Ohio State, I just thought
they got the gift of the what probably should have been a fumble that then was called targeting that then allowed them to get to like midfield,
right? Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was like unless everyone on Ohio State falls down at the same time,
kind of like that,
kind of scenario. The way their offense had really kind of struggled to do much, and then they kept calling tunnel screen after tunnel screen.
They did it again.
I mean, it was.
They call 2 on that last drive?
They did.
No. They did.
They did.
That tone was great.
There wasn't a lot of expectation there. There wasn't expectation they were going to go down and score against USC.
God. But there was expectation in my mind that they'd close out Iowa.
Yeah. Well, because you're up 10-0. You have a chance to go up 13-0. You miss a 20-some yard field goal because another horrible snap from your specialist. I didn't even mention that when I was running through why I don't have a ton of optimism. They still have to go get their punter. I can't say I was super enamored by the specialist portion of the Husker games. Right. And that's one of those things. I don't know anyone can have a strong opinion on special teams until we're like halfway through the year, unless they just start off really poorly. So I think Mike Eckler has his work cut out for him for sure.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you to the texture reminder that the Iowa game, Iowa had 5 first downs and won the game. 5 first downs, won the football game.
I don't know if that's ever been done before.
It might be the first time ever, Bill.
I don't know if that's ever been done before.
It was an amazing night.
One offensive play that was good to start the fourth quarter.
They had an incredible individual effort run from Caleb Johnson.
That's the one play. Start the fourth quarter.
The special team snafu on a punt return from Nebraska to set up another field goal. Yeah.
That's when they really
Dylan not getting the ball out of his hands fast enough or just not having the pocket awareness as it's closing down on him to force the other fumble to lead for the game winning. It's just
because if it goes to
they
overtime,
needed three plays.
You still felt
three plays.
You still very confident if they went to overtime.
Yeah,
in Nebraska, because Nebraska was clearly the better team. You're watching it like, okay, you get a pick. You're just a random person from Idaho, and you get to pick a team here in overtime. Which one are you taking? Everyone's taking Nebraska. It's like, okay, what are the numbers? Where are we at with this? Because what they have, if they had five first downs, it means they only had one or two in the first half.
I'll look back at that.
That means they're probably one or two in the first half.
I think they had zero or one at halftime. It was atrocious football by Iowa, and they won.
And you thought, and it wasn't their normal defense. That's not Iowa.
Nebraska pushed them around a little bit.
They've faced way better defenses at Iowa.
It was a remarkable night.
Isaiah Nair catches that ball
went right through his hands.
No, and again, you can paint things to look better than they are. You can paint things to look worse than they are. But I think it's really tough for me right now to accept that Nebraska is going to make a seismic jump, which is, I think, what the discussion is to get to that 9-10 wins versus sort of where they are right
Just
now.
To repeat, Jake. I got the stats here from that game. Jake. Nebraska lost this game 13-10. Iowa had five first downs. They were 0-10 on third down.
0-10.
They ran the ball for 49 yards. They had the one big play passing and their screen pass. Yeah. They had 115 yards passing because of the one play. And that's it. That's all they did. Nebraska had the ball for 39 minutes compared to 20 minutes or 21 minutes for Iowa. Yeah. And they couldn't win that game. Mm-hmm. 20. And by the way, for Nebraska, 20 first downs to Iowa's five. Mm-hmm. 334 yards to 164 L. I was there.
And didn't they get a penalty before they made the field goal to move it back five more yards?
Ooh, don't remember that.
I think there was a penalty to move it back. I mean, the guy bombed like a what?
Drew Stevens.
It's what it always is. He just sneaks it over the crossbar.
53 yards.
53.
It was good. You tell 70. Yourself,
53.
Like,
it was like 10 degrees, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You tell yourself, like, he's probably not going to make this, right? Yeah. At some point, on average, Iowa's going to miss the game-winning kick against Nebraska.
Boom.
No.
Didn't happen in 19, or didn't happen in 18, didn't happen in 19, didn't happen in 20, 21, didn't happen in 23, didn't happen in 24, won't happen again. Just if they're lining up for the game-winning field goal and it's against Nebraska, it's through.
The one that was from 2 years ago was the kicker had never kicked a kick before.
Yeah.
Because they'd blocked a couple.
They brought a guy in that had never kicked a field goal before
in a game.
Yeah.
And he makes the winner in Memorial Stadium.
This is where the wind is swirling. And it just knuckles over the corner of the upright.
People are stabbing themselves in the heart right now.
Jake.
Let's play the game show. Give us a call right now at 464-568-5. Your chance to win a business box to Bagels and Joe. Today's topic, I don't know, you might want Bill for this today. We'll see on the topic. It's your decision, Sip. But we're just going back to the year 1993. Mm-hmm. Could be sports, could be music, could be
just
life.
1993
trivia.
That's pretty broad.
It's pretty broad. It is broad.
93.
Just a throwback Thursday. We're just back to throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday.
Will there be music?
I will give you a song's name. I won't play the music for you. I'll give you the song's name. I need the band, likely. Potentially. If you know your 1993 trivia, call us 464-5685. Shut Up Sipple starts right now.
We've all been there. You're listening to the radio, and then that rage starts to grow inside of you. It starts to consume you. It gets to a point where you just want to yell, "Shut up, Sipple!"
No, sorry. I'm sorry. Well, here's your chance. It's time to shut up, Sipple. Call now to play 464-5685. Shut up, Sipple. Brought to you by Bagels and Joe.
All right, 464-5685. Call the dick down, Sip and Schaefer. You play with Schaefer today?
Well, yeah, however you want to do it.
Okay.
It's always Schaefer.
Yeah. Let's make it sure, because 93, you know, Bill was more alive than Schaefer was in 93.
We were pretty checked out, though.
Okay. Yeah. All right,
How old were you, Schaefer?
I would have been six in 1993.
Okay, I get it. Nice.
Pretty good. Yeah. Okay, we've got Nate. Nate, how do you feel about 1993 trivia today?
Well, guys, I was 10 years old, so I got a little bit of knowledge on the year, but not a whole lot.
10? You're paying attention, though.
Yeah, you're paying attention. Yeah, you're what's going
you're kind of locked in at that point.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Nate.
All right, Nate, first question goes to you. What Toronto Blue Jay hit a game-winning bottom-of-the-ninth home run to win the 1993 World Series?
Joe Carter.
Brilliant. Whoa.
Joe Carter is correct.
Yeah. You guys didn't know that? I would have known it eventually. Yeah.
I did not know it.
Yes. Yeah.
Joe Carter.
There was no 94 World Series, so the Blue Jays were the champions for the end of 93 until 1995.
And Joe Carter, he had played on some other teams.
Yeah, right? he's a Cleveland Indian. Your dad probably loved him.
Yes.
He was a very good outfielder.
Was he a Philly at any point?
I think he was a Cubs.
I just know the Indians.
We'll have to check out his
maybe played for the Padres for a little bit.
Joe Carter, okay.
1-0 lead for Nate. Sip, first question. What NHL team defeated Wayne Gretzky and the LA Kings in 5 games to win the 93 Stanley Cup Finals led by Guy Carboneau and Patrick Waugh?
Oh, ooh, I should know that one.
I think I do know that. 93? Would that be the LA Kings?
I said the LA... I'm giving you a chance here.
We're gonna regroup.
What team defeated Gretzky and the LA Kings?
Oh, Gretzky was with the Kings at that point.
Yeah. Good shape.
So Patrick Waugh,
this team beat the Kings.
I thought Patrick
to win
Waugh
the 93 finals.
I think I know who it is, but I can't tell you.
Schaefer, any help? You don't have. If you don't know, don't help him.
I would just have a guess, but not a guess worth being used for.
The Kings did not defeat themselves.
Right,
so
got
you
it.
Can another guess.
I thought Patrick Waugh played for the Kings.
5 seconds.
I have no earthly idea.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Edmonton?
What? Oilers. No. Nate, do you want this question or not?
The Montreal Canadiens.
Brilliant!
Didn't have it.
That is correct. 2-0 lead.
Oh, we're down 2-0.
Waugh went on to play for the Avalanche, of course, after that.
See, this feels like a...
That's what I had to... I wrote the Avs down.
Well, and the Avs wouldn't have existed in 1983.
That was my whole throwback there. Was...
Kings.
This is not over yet, but it's close to over, because if he misses this, you have a chance to stay alive.
Got it.
Nate, for the win, up 2-0, what band sang the 1993 song Runaway Train?
Runaway Train was, I believe, Soul Asylum.
Oh, brilliant! That's a buzzsaw right there. Nate was a problem today.
Soul Asylum.
Congrats, Nate. You win bagels. Thanks for calling in and calling down the road. Nice win today.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Nate was locked in. For being 10 years old, 93, he was really locked in.
Soul Asylum.
Yeah, I would have had that one.
Really?
So if he didn't, we would have been able to at least get back into it. But
I thought it was Puddle of Mud.
Didn't have.
I thought it was Puddle of Mud. Let's Isn't that like a similar band?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's more grungy than Soul Asylum.
Yeah.
Soul
Asylum's a little more rock, poppy.
Okay. Game's over, but you can still try. Who sang the 93 song, I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That?
Oh, Meatloaf.
It's a layup.
Brilliant.
Layup after
that
layup.
That was 93?
Yes.
And who were you thinking
of? Now, this is for Bill.
I thought it would have been before.
Meatloaf is incredible.
This is for Bill because 1993 is the year that Groundhog Day came out, your favorite movie.
Yes.
What is the film length of Groundhog Day? How long is it?
Get this
in hours and minutes or just minutes?
Hours and minutes, please.
That's a good distinction.
He's
I appreciate
it many
him
times.
Actually asking that.
1 hour, 58 minutes.
Shafe, go ahead.
Under.
Under.
1 hour, 41 minutes. Yes.
Yeah. Good That's guess. Good
going to go 139.
Andy McDowell is in that movie, too. I've seen it over 75 times.
Groundhog.
And if I start watching at any point, I will continue to watch it. I will always
until you
watch it. Yes.
Finished it.
Ned Ryerson? That was the insurance salesman. That was the best. He would see him. Ned Ryerson?
Every day
he would see it. He bought Term Life. So good. The last scene where he saves the kid falling out of the tree. Oh.
Hour 3 is next, an early break on the ticket.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.